I've just generated $40,000 in my life for the $500, $600, $800 investment in Google. Now, when you think like that, you will be unbeatable. This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Beth, your content marketing manager here at Paul Gough Media. And I'm excited to bring you today's episode of the Paul Gough Audio Experience. If you know Paul, you know he has great insight on marketing and business ownership. His sessions are massively helpful and they lead his listeners to success. In this podcast, you'll learn how he wrote chapter 2 of his book, Leadership in Private Practice. If you're a business leader who struggles with knowing the difference between being a manager or a leader, then this podcast is for you. Paul's leadership book will challenge you to rethink and reorganize your view of business leadership and do whatever you need to do to create a profitable private practice. You can buy the book at www.paulgoughbooks.com. Now, let's get the show started.
Welcome to another session, Friday session, shall we call it? Not one in the bar. It's a Friday session on leadership. Wherever you are listening to this, be it podcast, be it YouTube, be it LinkedIn, Instagram, Google, Facebook, Schmakebook, whatever we are, Flakebook, every single possible platform that we can be on. I think Beth, our new producer, has us on. So welcome, everybody. We are beaming all over the world. We're talking to people. I can see people coming in live on Facebook. Say hello, type into the chat as you come in live on your Flakebook. It would be good to see you and get some comments coming into the chat. So Friday afternoon, I had a week off last week. I had a wonderful trip up to the Lake Norman area of Charlotte in North Carolina, which was wonderful. And been back in the seat, if you like, for the last few days, which is great. We are doing some wonderful things here in Paul Gough Media. Recruitment is permanent, almost in overdrive in this business, as is the Paul Gough Physio Rooms. It continues despite deep, severe lockdowns and chaos in Britain, with governments banning people now from leaving the country, and it's a fine, and you're evil if you try to leave the country. £5,000 fine for leaving Britain or attempting to leave Britain. It's madness back there. But look, the physio business continues to run, and we continue to make more, of the opportunity that COVID has presented us with. What is that opportunity? Well, quite simply, most of my competitors are asleep. They are not doing anything with marketing. They are not driving growth in their business, which was something that I committed to around about September of 2020. So I hired a full-time marketing manager. Many of you know, we've invested significantly in the infrastructure, continued to invest heavily in Google, which is just now flying through. I think we had 15 brand new patients last week, 10 of which came in from Google and 7 in one day. Facebook continues to work very well for us. Email marketing, we're writing a blog at least once a week. We are daily social media. We've got newspaper ads going. We've got referral campaigns going on in the office. We've got 5-star review competitions. We've got staff on the phone. We are basically kicking butt and taking names. And if you're waiting for lockdown before you start marketing your practice, well, I'm not sure that's the best idea, because it's going to take you 3, 6, 9 months to fire this machine back up. Marketing is like a train. Once you start the thing, just keep it moving. It takes too much time, money, and effort to get it moving again. So I can tell you without absolute any hesitation, I've never, ever, ever in over 12 years of advertising on Google and 7 and 8 years of advertising on Facebook, I've never, ever seen the returns that I'm getting on Google or Facebook right now for my Paul Gough Physio Room. So if you are not online, you haven't made the, as Kevin O'Leary, our friend of the community, describes it, if you haven't made the digital pivot yet, why not? What are you waiting for? Google and Facebook right now is flying, compounded with regular emails to past patients, blogs to remind Facebook, Google, that you are active and alert and awake, five-star reviews that people will be checking, your daily social media, your referral competitions, you've got your telephone you can pick up, your past patients you can call. It's just a wonderful time to be a business owner right now in the physical therapy profession, or let's call it a forward-thinking, an aspirational physical therapist who is awake and alert to the opportunity that is all over the world right now in our profession. So get in the game. So the physio business is doing great. Very pleased, very proud of Vicky and Laura and Becky and Jess and the team back there. Johnny, great story. We've just took on another full-time physical therapist, and it's one that's been 10 years in the making. Very proud to announce that we took on another physio who, I think it was 10 or 11 years ago, I treat this lady's mother for a problem. And she asked me at the time what physio was like as a profession. I was very complimentary about it. She said her daughter was thinking of doing it. She was, I believe, 14 at the time, 15. I said, bring her in for some work experience. She came in for 2 weeks work experience, shadowing, if you like, what the office was like. She loved it. She went on to college. She came back to us for work experience at college. She went to university, came back to us for a placement while at university, and has recently just took a full-time job with us. She's currently with us, but starts officially full-time on the 1st of April. So the view of the world, if you like, if you have a big long-term view, I always believe you get the payoffs. If you live like most people, Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, you don't get your head up, you don't breathe, you don't think. You don't look at the view of the world, not just your business, from 35,000 feet. You're not taking CNN's word for everything, or you're not tuning into Boris every night, like telling you how to live your life. If you kind of shut out from all of that crap, the world is actually still a very, very good place to be. And it's got wonderful opportunity for people who are ready to go out there and take it, both in life and in business. So lots of good stuff happening in physio business. My property business continues to grow. Added my second person in my real estate business that I don't think I've mentioned too much on the podcast, but I've really started to grow my property rental business back in the UK as well, acquiring properties and acquiring staff and buildings for that company as well. Watch this space. I'll start sharing with you the websites and the social handles for my future little project as well. Business is fun. I just think it's amazing. And like I said, if you're a go-getter, you're an entrepreneur, you've got the right mindset right now. It's just it's opportunity everywhere you look for business owners, quite simply because the competition are asleep. You only need to win a horse race by a millimeter to be the champion. Usain Bolt only needed to win by 0.1. Tenth of a second to be the Olympic champion, and I believe the same to be true in life and in business. So that's what's going on. So welcome, everybody. Type into the chat if you're live on Facebook. Great to see. It's coming up as Facebook user, so I can't see who you are, but I can see people there. Hiya, Paul. Hope you're doing okay. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much for asking. Hey, Paul. So type into the chat. Let me open up these comments and see if I can see what's going on. Type into the chat if you can hear me. I'm going to wave at you. If you're on Facebook, I'm waving. Wherever you are, tell me where you're coming in from and I'll give you a shout out. What country are you in? What is your name? Tell me who you are and where you are, where you're coming in from. It would be wonderful to hear from you. Today, we're going to talk more about the leadership aspect that we're kind of heavy into. A lot of my followers over the last few years, people I've been working with in business, we've helped them go from start up to, in some cases, seven-figure revenue over the last 2 or 3 years, and high six-figure profits, or mid, 100, 200, 300 grand profits for their businesses. So we start out with marketing, we then move on to sales, and then we have to figure out numbers, and then we have to get good at recruitment. And then in the end, we find ourselves with these things called people and this thing called culture and this thing called business that needs a leader. So I set about writing a book, and it was called Leadership in Private Practice, went to number one on Amazon, How to Become a World-Class Leader and CEO of a Successful Private Practice. You can get it right now. If it's back in stock, it's constantly in and out of stock, although Amazon do a good job of keeping up with the demand. And I'm going to give you an oversight of my thoughts, a reveal, if you like, of the author, inside the mind of the author, almost. Chapter two is all about a precarious question that people ask a lot. particularly in business, what's the difference between a manager and a leader? What's the difference? All right. What's the difference between a manager and a leader? Because for anybody who is in business, it's important that you know the difference, when to be one or the other, and how much time to spend being a manager or being the leader of a business. Now, the reality is everybody wants to be a leader. The world seems to think that being a leader is sexier and more interesting and more fun and more rewarding if you are a leader versus a manager, and that may be true. However, ultimately, to become a good leader, you still are going to have to at some point nail this thing called management. And it may be true that you are better as a leader and better as a manager, and that is also very likely to happen. But it's also very true for a small business owner that you will have to play both roles simultaneously, because even if you get to the corporate level where you've got 400 staff in your business that you employ, you are still going to have to manage probably 7 to 10 of those people beneath you. So at every point in the journey of a business leader, you are always simultaneously managing and leading. You're leading the company, but you are probably managing a select group of people, unless you are absolutely completely removed from it and you have a CEO. And even then, you're going to be managing that CEO, albeit probably weekly or monthly, or as Kevin O'Leary taught us recently, he manages his CEOs every 90 days. It's a check-in with his CEOs every 90 days. However, that's not the player that we're all at. That's not the game that we're all playing. We are all managing head physical therapists. We are managing front desk staff. We're managing the finance guy. We're managing the bookkeeper. We're managing cash flow. We're managing the marketing assistant. We're managing the culture. Like, there's still so many things for us to be managing while simultaneously leading. And I think the first thing that you have to understand is that you will always play both. You will always play both. You will simultaneously be a leader on the same day as you are a manager. And ultimately, leadership, as I wrote about in the book, leadership evolves as a result of management excellence. Leadership evolves as a result of management excellence. So what does that mean? Well, it means that ultimately, to ever get to the point of being able to call yourself a leader, you'll have had to have been a good manager. And that could be on a small scale. That could be on a managed 5 people. And then you brought in a general manager who managed those 6 people for you. Now, you're still going to have to manage the general manager in order to get that person to do what you need them to do to fulfill your vision. But you will have still had to have managed the front desk, the marketing assistant, and possibly 2 physios to be in the position to hire somebody to manage them for you. So leadership absolutely evolves as a result of management excellence, and the two are interwoven. In the beginning, you will start off as a manager and the leader, even of yourself. So really think about it. In the beginning, you have to manage yourself and your own standards and your own discipline and your own work ethic. But at the same time, you've got to lead yourself. You've got to set the vision for what you want for the company. And really, it's understanding what the two differences are, because you may not fully understand the difference between what a leader does and a manager. In relative terms, really, a manager is somebody who has the vision for the company. So that's where we're headed. This is the route. This is where we're going to go. I want to take us to this point with this many staff, with this many clinics. And I also need to manage the team. So I need to recruit the team. I need to manage the organizational chart. I need to be aware of that. I need to build the team both in terms of numbers and in capability. So people think about building a team and they immediately think about adding more people to it. I'm going to help or hope that you start to think about team isn't just about adding people in terms of capacity. It's actually about capability as well. So can you build the people in terms of what they're capable of? Can you build the people in terms of their character? Can you build the people in terms of their resilience? Can you build the people in terms of their maturity, their skill levels, their ability to get more things done, to time manage? That's ultimately what the leader does. And I need to manage the cash. So I need to make sure that I don't run out of money. I need to make sure that my business is priced appropriately. I need to make sure that the customer lifetime value is, and that was another thing that Kevin O'Leary was huge on, that he thinks the reason that most small businesses don't invest in their marketing is because they don't understand the concept of customer lifetime value. So you speak to a typical physio business owner, and they'll tell you that they charge £35 a session in Britain, or $150 in the UK, or $90 in Canada, or $70 in Australia, whatever, right? But the super successful business owner will tell you that a customer has a lifetime value of $10,000. So I don't really care what they spend with me per session. What I care is what they spend with me over the lifetime of my business, which takes me back to what I said at the start of this show today, that if you live Monday to Tuesday, you think in terms of cost per visit or fee per visit. If you live for 25-year view of your business, you think in terms of the customer lifetime value of your business. Very, very important to consider that. And when you get that view of the world, you stop worrying about how many phone calls you're getting from your Google ads. And instead of thinking I only got 7, you think, you know what? I got 7 and 4 of them are going to spend $10,000 with me over the next 10 years. Therefore, to me, the business owner investing in that marketing, I've just generated $40,000 in my life for the $500, $600, $800 investment in Google. Now, when you think like that, you will be unbeatable. Is that making sense to everybody? Type into the chat. Let me know that's resonating. Because really, if your competitor or you continue to think about the $150 per visit, right, and you go, well, I only got a few calls from Google and we spent $1,000, that doesn't add up. Or you start to go, actually, I got 7 calls, 4 of them converted on average because they'll come back to me 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, assuming I do a good job. And they will refer Auntie Bill or Auntie Sally, Uncle Bill, Cousin Eric, they'll refer to you. And in that respect, they're worth $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to you, assuming you do the customer service and the referral stuff right. Don't screw it up. And this customer can be quite easily to you worth $15,000 to $20,000. So when you start to think like that, you're really playing at a level that's above your competition. You're playing at a level that's going to outbeat anybody in the marketplace, because you now have the confidence to invest more in your marketing, more in your people, more in your infrastructure. You know, your marketing might not work for a few weeks or it might not be as effective, but you'll hold your ground. You won't panic. You won't do what most businesses do and kick up a fuss the minute that the phone doesn't ring when a newspaper ad didn't work. That's fine. It might just be a situation, something, whatever. It doesn't matter. When you start to understand that the lifetime value, the two most important things in any business must be selected by the leader. The choice of the customer, who is the ideal patient, which most businesses don't give enough lip service or don't give enough thought to. They give lip service to it. All discussed in my new patient accelerator book. And the customer lifetime value. Customer lifetime value gives you an absolute, undeniable strategic advantage over anybody in your area. And that's the job of the leader, to start thinking about the financial aspect of the business, the cash flow. What is the salary structure going to look like? How much money do you actually want to make from building the business? Which is, again, another thing that I don't think business owners give enough thought to. There's too much, I'm going to start a business, and there should be more of, I want to make this much money out of my business, and here's how I'm going to price this business appropriately to make that worthwhile, to make it a reality, not a pipe dream. What do most business owners do? Let's go into the marketplace very timidly, start with a low ball price, get a little bit of pushback on the low price. Then raise the price in the future because, after all, they got pushed back on the low price. Why did they get pushed back on the low price? Well, possibly because they were so cheap, or more likely, they weren't very good at selling. They didn't have the confidence to sell. They hadn't studied selling. I invite you to buy and read my book, To Sell Is Healthy. It's all about the problems that businesses have when it comes to pricing their services, which usually comes from the fear of rejection and not having the confidence to charge the money that makes being in business worthwhile, and secondary to that, ultimately, actually gives you a chance of making the profit that makes being in business worthwhile, and to be able to simultaneously give the customer a service level that actually they want to come back to. Because I'm adamant that many businesses are so cheap, they cannot provide the service that people actually want to enjoy and therefore pay for. and giving the customer another reason to buy from you over and above their back pain getting fixed. Again, little understood by the typical business owner on the street. This is the job of the leader. The job of the leader is threefold. Vision, where are we headed? Manage the cash, all of those things we've just discussed. Build the team. Not just add people to the team, build the character, build the resilience of the team, build the skills of the team, the capabilities of the team, build the culture within that team. That's the job of the leader. Now, it's my experience that you could float between that and becoming the manager and getting a little bit more granular, a little bit more tactical, actually making sure that these things are getting done. Checking the cash flow forecast, checking the marketing stats, talking to the physios, listening to their conversations, looking at the customer service, making sure that the phone's been answered in the way that you want it to, making sure that things are getting given to patients, that physios are converting at the level that you want, that the cash upsell is actually working. These are the things that are more managerial. They're the more day-to-day doing. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that the reason that businesses get stuck, and anybody listening to this, you will probably find yourself there, Mystic Paul, is about to reveal the future, you'll find yourself that your business is stuck primarily because you're spending too much time being a manager. You're spending too much time in the day-to-day. You're spending too much time in the weeds, the tactical, the minutiae, as I call it, in the book, that ultimately doesn't allow you to get your head up to see the woods for the trees, figuratively, to find out actually what's going on in the business. So we've got the business to the point where it is because you were a leader and you had a big vision and you knew where it was going to go. You started recruiting people. Then all of a sudden, these people started giving you problems. You started running out of cash. You stopped thinking big things about the business. You get sucked into the weeds. Before you know it, you look up. It's been 18 years, and you're still stuck at the same point as you were back in 19, whatever, right? However many years ago. But you get the point. This is the story, real story of business owners. It's because most people don't understand the difference between the manager and the leader. You have to be able to float between the two. If you're stuck in the business, if you're still in that business 20 years on and still treating patients, well, you're not playing leader. It's not possible if you're spending 35 hours a week, basically, as I call it in the book, you think you're flying a plane. You're not. You're at the back serving beer and pretzels, wine and pretzels to the passengers. There's nobody in the cockpit flying the plane. That plane will go off course. If you're lucky, it'll stay in the air. For some people, you're probably better off the damn thing crashing, because it's just mental torture and brain damage for however many years, a plane that's ultimately flying out of control. That's most people's businesses, because they're not understanding leader versus manager. I think to grow the business, the person running and operating or owning that business needs to be the leader around about 80% of the time, thinking about where the business is going, thinking about the people, and thinking about everything from customer lifetime value, raising the profitability, getting more cash in, making sure you don't run out of cash. There will be times where, for example, in COVID, the shit hits the fan, proverbially, and you've got to be the manager for 80% of the time for 3 or 4 months, because you've got to make sure everything's tight. There's no margin for error. So you are checking things. You are looking at what people are doing or not doing in your business. And ultimately, when you go back in as manager, you fight a few fires. You probably fire a few people. You probably hire a few people. You make some changes to processes. You kick some ass. You get some energy back in the company. You ruffle a few feathers, you get a few people back at the game that they should have been at, right? You're back in being the manager. You've got some energy about you, some tenacity, but you can't stay there. And that's where really what is required is an awareness which leads to the clarity. The clarity is ultimately about what position, what role you're playing, whether it's manager or be it the leader. And these are the things, like I said, we're discussing them in the book. If you Beth, do you want to type into the chat the polgoffbooks.com? If you haven't got the leadership book, make sure you get it. It's just basically the lessons I've learned in 12, 13, 14 years, however many years I've been an employer, a business owner, a business leader in 2 countries, in now 3 different businesses employing more than 40 people. This is the kind of the Bible, if you like, for how to do it. So this is a big thing for people. Don't get stuck in the doing. Don't always get stuck in the doing, and aim to spend more time thinking about the vision. But at the same time, what I've also seen is there are business owners who are too lofty. they're spending too much time thinking about the vision of the business and where they're going to take it, and they're not tenacious enough to get in and actually be able to fight the fire, have the hard conversations, take the hits, tackle the staff problems, let people go, bring people in, whatever. They're not willing to make the big hire. They're not willing to give up control. Their ego runs wild. They convince themselves, this is always my favorite. I feel like I'm in control when I'm treating the patients. I always say, great, how many staff have you got? They say, I've got 10, Paul. I'm going, good. So you are really trying to tell me with a straight face that you feel more in control of those 10 people while your head is in the clinic treating somebody's back ass. You're telling me that you can have more control over this business when you're staring at somebody's back or hamstring, piriformis, whatever. You're really trying to tell me with a straight face that you think you can manage those 10 people, those variabilities, which multiply into hundreds of different things that can go right or wrong, from being in a treatment room behind a closed door, talking to Mrs. Smith about her sciatica. On what planet are you living on? Is it Mars or Pluto? Like, which one? Like, there's so much bull crap that goes around when it comes to thinking about what is right for the business. Now, that is an ego conversation, and that's fine if that's what somebody wants. Just sentence yourself to a lifetime of struggle. Good for you if that's what you want to do. Either my advice is always stay small and keep treating patients if that's what you want, or get big, but don't get stuck in the middle. Because if you get stuck in the middle, you are quite literally in no man's land. And I can tell you from firsthand, I was there 7 years ago, it is the worst place on earth to be in any business, in any industry, any field, anywhere in the world, where you're the guy doing everything as well as the guy trying to run the business. You're the girl trying to manage everybody as well as drive the business forward, as well as treat all the patients, as well as do all of the things required of the business. You can be superhero. You can be Superman or woman for a year, 2 years max in the end. You show me a business owner that is still trying to be superhero 2 years in, I'll show you somebody who doesn't see their kids, is probably overweight, probably stressed a bit, tearing their hair out, hasn't been on vacation for 2 years. Where's the cowbell that says I work 18 hours a day and I've not had a vacation in over 3 years, but I plan to take a trip to Europe in 2028, right? That's the usual BS that business owner comes out with. Which is fine, right? If that's what you want and that's what you want to be able to do, then good luck. Like, good for you. But the purpose of the book and the purpose of the leadership book is ultimately to shed some light. I talk about the three different phases of business, whether it's the startup, the owner-operator, or the CEO. And it's the owner-operator, the guy or the girl doing everything, treating the patients included, baking the cakes figuratively. That is the worst position to be in, and sadly is where most people find themselves in business. So yeah, that's what we've got. It's a deep dive into lessons learned from actually running a business. I remain one of the rare few who continues to actually run his own businesses in multiple different fields whilst simultaneously writing about it and also actually being able to provide real valuable lessons on the subject of business leadership, whether that's recruitment or marketing or sales or culture or headaches or just stuff that beats you every day as a business owner, but you can still go home smiling. That's the privilege of being a business owner or leader. So type into the chat if you've got questions. I'm looking on Facebook Live right now. If you have any questions, let's see if we can take this thing interactive. Leanne says, great points. Dean Volk, wonderful to see you. I've heard about the move to LA, good for you. Who else? Jordan, nice to see you. Eric is watching. Jordan, what would you say the first thing you should start out sourcing? Well, it depends what level you're at, Jordan, but for most people who are watching this, start outsourcing the bloody physical therapy. As in, hire a physical therapist to come and bloody do this stuff for you. Get this stuff off your plate ASAP so that you can do more of the thing that you should be doing. Now, the marketer. The first step that anybody listening to this who's got any serious aspirations of building a real business that makes money without you having to treat patients, which is again, if you don't want that, good for you. But if you want something that generates cash when you're not there, you can disappear for a month and you come back and there's money in your bank, the first step is to replace yourself as a physio, move across the organizational chart and become a marketer. and start thinking of yourself as a marketer. Not necessarily doing everything, not necessarily doing the Google, not necessarily doing the Facebook, albeit you might start dabbling with it, but outsource that shit as fast as possible. But you've got to get into that marketing seat as quickly as possible. And I can absolutely guarantee you there's nothing more true that I could tell you from running a business, three businesses now, that the minute that you get serious about marketing, good stuff happens. The primary reason that most businesses don't grow is because people give lip service to marketing. Marketing is not the be-all and end-all, but it is the fuel. Without marketing, you don't get other problems. With marketing, you get sales problems, you get pricing problems, you get culture problems because you need to recruit people. Marketing is it's a beautiful paradox because you get both problems as a result of the problem that you solved, which is I don't have enough patients. You know your marketing is working well when you start getting new problems. So I would absolutely 100%, I'd be outsourcing the physical therapist immediately by recruiting somebody. I'd be getting that off my plate. I'd be moving into the marketing team. I'd be getting a good bookkeeper very, very quickly. Stop pissing about doing your own books. Pay somebody, whatever, to get that done for 2 or 3 hours. And then immediately start outsourcing all the tech stuff. Everything from Google, Facebook, just crap that you shouldn't be doing. Keep the strategic direction in the physical therapy business, which is what I did in the early days. I was still the marketing guy. I may not have been actually going inside Facebook. I may not have been going inside Google, although I did for 3 to 6 months to figure it out and get comfortable with it and kind of be dangerous. But I realized even then that I was better, you know, I was more highly, my hourly rate as a business leader was worth more than what it was to be inside of these, you know, Infusionsoft even, whatever. I love all of these things. I've been inside of Infusionsoft for years. Well, what the hell would I want to do that for? Like, that's not my job anymore. My job is to hire somebody who knows how to do it better than me. And that's ultimately what you would say. Next question, following that, admin or clinical, and what specific PT business need? It depends. At this point, you know, the first step, I always say, the first thing you've got to recruit if you're early business is the front desk, create a magical experience. Now, most physios don't do that because their stupid accountants will tell them that front desk are not revenue generators. That's the biggest load of shit I've ever heard in my life. Only an accountant who doesn't have a good customer service or a front desk girl will tell you not to get one, right? But if you want their advice, and that's fine. But I would always point out that most accountants are still working when they're 75. And if that's what you want, then good luck, right? If you want to be still sat behind a desk, taking my crap all day when you're 75, then take your accountant's advice. If you don't, talk to an accountant who has built a business and has stepped back from it and still makes money. And what you will find is these things called people in a business, right? And customer service is probably the biggest revenue generator. And I'd hasten to tell you that if not more, they're certainly on a par. My admin are on a par with the revenue that they bring in from physios, quite simply because they give the Rolls Royce. They make people feel good. They look after them. They love them. They make them their coffees. They just give them other reasons to come back to the clinic. So I would go and get a front desk very, very quickly. And then I'd look to replace myself as fast as possible from being the main treating therapist. And that's where I would, that's the way I would do it. That's the way I would do it. And the goal really from a business point of view is to recognize when you've hit a ceiling in your time and you need to recruit somebody to replace you, to free you up, to think bigger for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, and then go act on those bigger, you know, bigger views. You're going to have to really be successful in business. You need a vision. You've got to be able to see things that other people can't see, and you've got to be tenacious. Tenacity is a beautiful word. It's a nitty gritty, beautiful word that just says, I'll take some shit, I'll dig in, I'll do what I've got to do, and I'll make this dream become a reality. Because I think if you don't have those two and you don't have the perfect cocktail mix of a vision, a view of life, a view of your business that you really, really want for yourself, for your family, for your patients, for your community, if you don't have that and you're too distracted with just shit and news and CNN and Trump and Biden and Boris and COVID and whatever else is going to come next, if you don't cut off from that, your vision will be always limited, and you'll find that you don't have the energy to be tenacious, to go in and fight the fight. That would be my, you know, my thing for any business owner. Eric says, having impossible time finding a practice manager. Any thoughts? I mean, I could go into this forever. If I was recruiting for a practice manager, I'd have 3, 5, 4, you know, 5 or 6 different job ads up. I'd have three or four different pay scales up. I'd have three or four different incentive packages available. I would be extending the search far wide, depending upon how big the practice is. Can you afford to bring somebody in from out of town? If you can't find them, can somebody else find it for you? As in, let somebody else do the recruitment and give you an unemotional view of the person that you need, which I'd be a fan of. If you can't get the person and you can't see it because you're, you know, you're kind of lost in the doing too much now, why not let somebody else do it? Go and find a business owner that you trust who's recruited and pay them. Or if it's a friend, ask them to go through the recruitment process for you to find the person that they think you need, and talk it out with somebody who's got an emotional view. What we think we need is often not what we want. So talk it through with somebody would be my explanation. Eric. So what else? What else? I've got 5 more minutes. Type into the Facebook chat. Let's make this whole... Who's read the book? Type into the chat. Anybody watching on Facebook, what's your thoughts on the book? What was the comments? And if you haven't got it, head over to paulsleadershipbook.com or paulgoffbooks.com and get your copy of all of the books now available. We are a legitimate publishing house. We have got 5 books there: marketing, sales, hiring, healthy habits, leadership. It's as if I've got nothing else to do except write books for you listeners and Facebook watchers. Who knew? Apparently, you're supposed to be really busy as a business owner, and you're supposed to have no time in your life for anything, let alone write books and you know, actually enjoy your life. So head of the books. And if you want them, signing, mail them in. Where are we at? 1420 Celebration Boulevard, Celebration, Florida. Mail them to me in a return address envelope, and we'll ship them back to you. Times are hard. There's a recession. What do we got here? David Lockwood. In the car, I've always agreed with your philosophy. Your words are spot on. I've been successful because I've been very big and I'm now very small. I'd still most likely be very big if I'd run into you in 1986, not 2017. You must be one or the other day, or you will be miserable in the middle. Correct. But seriously, everybody who's listening to this, that's the words of a very wise man, David Kurtz. David, I won't say how many years you've been a private practice owner, but there's a little bit of experience there, put it that way. And who's experienced both. It's not about getting big. Just ask General Electric or General Motors as well. What was it like getting big? Didn't necessarily equate to more profit for the shareholders. It's not about getting big. It's about getting profitable. It's not about getting big. It's about getting profitable. And you only do that when you know the rules of the game that you're playing. If you follow a blind ego, you follow other people that are not necessarily living the life that you want, you're being duped by, you know, social media and so on, then it will come back to bite you in the ass, because you might have a lot of staff, you might have a lot of revenue, but ultimately none of us want revenue. And none of us really even secretly want 50 staff. What we want is the total output of all of those staff that generates something over and above what you're capable of producing on your own, that must be worth it in order to go through the you know, the heartache and the hassle that comes with running a business. But I guess that's a conversation for another day. So what else? Any more questions on the subject of leadership? Type into the chat and let me know. Who can I see? Who's there? How do I find out who's actually live on Facebook? We got time for one more. Otherwise, it's Friday afternoon and I'm heading to the pub. I'm going to go home early. No, I've got I got some more work to do today. And sorry for you guys who are still locked down and there's no pub available for you just yet. But I can assure you, beer is still available in Florida, as is sunshine. It's 90 plus degrees here in Florida today. So the draft beer will taste very nice in the tavern tonight. All right, I'm going to go. So thank you, everybody, for listening and watching wherever you are. If we've hit you on LinkedIn, if we've hit you on YouTube, if we've hit you on the podcast, Facebook, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I really do appreciate you. I always do enjoy doing these lives. type or head over to the book store, paulgoffbooks.com to get your copy of this book or any of the books. If you want them signing, send them to the office, 1420 Celebration Boulevard, Celebration Orlando. Happy to sign the books for you. Let us know how we can help, and we will see you all again very, very soon. All right, have a good one. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Paul Goff's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgoff.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgoff using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.